And as I always do, I always have to chant my two favorite mantras. Trinadipi sunichena tadariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari hare nama hare nama hare nama eva kevalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatir anyata. So I'd like to read and speak from one of my most favorite books, Krishna book, the book that convinced me to surrender to Krishna. And since my very good friend Kamlesh Patel is here, I promised him that every time he is in the audience, I will always request everyone to chant. Please repeat. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma suchaha. Krishna orders Arjuna, and in so doing, he's ordering us to give up everything, all kinds of religious principles, rituals, and simply surrender to him. You can't hear? Oh, okay. Pay attention, kids. This program is for you, especially. Krishna says if you surrender to him, then he will deliver you from all sinful reactions. And he uses a very interesting word, ma suchaha, which has three meanings. Don't worry, don't hesitate, don't fear. So, the next question is, how do I surrender? And if you ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will tell you, chant the Maha Mantra. So everybody please chant. So to understand the Rukmini Vivaha, we have to go to Mathura. So let's all go to Mathura. Everybody go now. And we have to hear about Ranachor. So let's hear about Ranachor. If you're ready to proceed, say Jai Shri Krishna.
Jai Shri Krishna.
So here is Prabhupada. Those of you who know me, I only preach from Prabhupada's books. Lord Krishna returned to the vicinity of Mathura, where he fought with the soldiers of Kalayavana and killed them one after another. This was after the whole incident with Muchukunda. Krishna left, was being chased by Kalayavana, and Krishna led him to a cave. And when Kalayavana saw a sleeping man in the cave, he thought it was Krishna pretending to sleep. So he kicked him. But when Muchukunda was kicked, he stared at Kalayavana and burnt Kalayavana to ashes. Then Krishna came out, because Krishna knew. How does Krishna know? How did Krishna know what to do? Which one of the children can answer? How did Krishna know what to do? Yes? What is your answer? How did Krishna know exactly how to trick Kalayavana? He knows everything. Very good. How does he know everything? Because what? He's the God. Very good. But specifically adults, that is correct. Where's my bell? You get a ding. But specifically adults, how does he know? What's the answer? Specifically, how does he know? Come on, yes? Yes, Paramatma. He's within everyone's heart. He knows exactly what everyone is doing, has done, and will do. So, yes. So then Krishna came out, revealed himself to Muchukunda. There was an exchange. So now, after coming out of the cave, this is what has happened. After this, he collected all the booty from the dead bodies, and under his direction, it was loaded on bullock carts and brought back to Dwaraka. Meanwhile, Jarasandha attacked Mathura again, this time with bigger divisions of soldiers, numbering 23 Akshahinis. Sri Krishna wanted to save Mathura. Now, how many times did Jarasandha attack Krishna before this? 17. Very good, Meena. This was the 18th time. Meena, what happened every time for 17 times? What happened? Yes, Krishna would kill his whole army, but not kill Kalayavana. Why did he do that? Jarasandha. You get an extra point. Why didn't Krishna kill Jarasandha? Why? Why he did not? There was a reason. Yes. Paritranaya sadunam vinashayatu dushkritam. Krishna knew that if I don't kill Jarasandha, he'll get another army of demons. I'll wipe them out. So let him live. Let him live. 17 times. So this is the 18th. Sri Krishna wanted to save Mathura from the 18th attack of the great military divisions of King Jarasandha to prevent further killing of soldiers and to attend to other important business. That's important. Keep that in now in your mind. Lord Krishna left the battlefield without fighting. Actually, he was not at all afraid, but he pretended to be an ordinary human being, frightened by the immense quantity of soldiers and resources of Jarasandha. Without any weapons, he left the battlefield. Although his lotus feet were as soft as the petals of a lotus flower, he proceeded for a very long distance on foot. This time, Jarasandha thought that Krishna and Balaram were very much afraid of his military strength and were fleeing the battlefield. He followed them with all his chariots, horses, and infantry. He thought Krishna and Balaram to be ordinary human beings, and he was trying to measure the activities of the Lord. Krishna is known as Ranachor. Everyone say. Everyone say. Everyone say. Which means one who has left the battlefield. In India, especially in Gujarat, so Krishna has included your Gujarat. Prabhupada has. Especially in Gujarat, there are many temples of Krishna known as temples of Ranchorji. So when you bring me, I will see. Thank you. He's going to bring me to Gujarat next year. So it is now public. Next year. There are many temples of Krishna known as Ranchorji. Ordinarily, if a king leaves the battlefield while fighting, he is called a what? Coward. Exactly what Prabhupada says. Coward. But when Krishna enacts this pastime, leaving the battlefield without fighting, he is worshipped by the devotee. A demon always tries to measure the opulence and strength of Krishna, whereas a devotee never tries to measure one's strength and opulence, but always surrenders unto him and worships him. By following in the footsteps of pure devotees, we can know that Krishna, the Ranchorji, everyone say that name, left the battlefield not because he was afraid, but because he had some other purpose. The purpose, as it will be revealed, was to attend to a confidential letter sent by Rukmini, his future first wife. Krishna leaving the battlefield is a display of one of his six opulences. Which one? Renunciation. Somebody has read Prabhupada's books. Very good. Yes, but this one demonstrates his renunciation. What other famous leela, which is going to take place next month, also demonstrates Krishna's renunciation? Rasa leela, yes. How? How does it demonstrate his renunciation? That's right. And in Dwaraka, you've heard me say a billion times, how did Krishna demonstrate his renunciation in Dwaraka? What do I always say? How did Krishna demonstrate Vairagya, not Viagra, in Dwaraka? Come on, I've said it a billion times. Nobody knows. Maybe. He only married... You haven't heard me say this a billion times? He only married 60... You think it's a joke. That's Krishna's renunciation. 16,108 wives is a drop in the bucket. Why? Why? Is it just a joke I'm saying? Why do I say... It is renunciation. Okay, but why else? Yes, he's unlimited. What's his name? If he's unlimited, how much is 16,108 over unlimited? How much is that? Not even a percent. It's insignificant. Yes, he's unlimited. Like you said, all women, not just women, all souls are what? What is the gender of all souls? Yeah, it's female. Right? So all souls belong to Krishna. He only married 16,108. All right. Krishna is the supreme powerful, the supreme wealthy, the supreme famous, the supreme wise. Kamlesh, what demonstrates Krishna as supreme wise? Such as? Oh, very good. Bhagavad Gita proves he's the supreme wise. And the supreme beautiful. Similarly, he is the supreme renouncer. Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that he left the battlefield in spite of having ample military strength. Even without his militia, he alone would have been sufficient to defeat the army of Jarasandha, as he had done how many times? 17. Therefore, his leaving the battlefield is an example of his supermost opulence, renunciation. What is the title of the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Who knows Bhagavad Gita? Yes, conclusion, the perfection of renunciation. It's one of my favorite chapters. What other chapter in Bhagavad Gita corresponds to chapter 18? What other chapter in Bhagavad Gita? Chapter 2, why? Yes, Prabhupada says chapter 18 is a review, a re-summarization of everything, because Prabhupada says Bhagavad Gita is finished in 17 chapters. And he says chapter 18 is a re-summarization. So yes, Kamlesh is right, as he usually is. Chapter 2 and chapter 18 are summary. Hint, hint. So if you want to learn Bhagavad Gita cliff notes, read chapter 2, chapter 18. If you got that, you're going to get a good gist of Bhagavad Gita. How many of you are reading Bhagavad Gita every day? I don't have time. Everyone should be reading Bhagavad Gita every day. Turn off CNN. Turn off ZTV. Sitcoms. Shut down and read Bhagavad Gita every day. I can say that because I do that. And I'm not even Hindu. It's your book. Was Bhagavad Gita made in China? It's one of the few things not made in China. Although maybe they print now, I don't know. But the Bhagavad Gita was spoken where? Yeah, what country? Kurukshetra. Where is Kurukshetra? 4 hours from Delhi. Haryana. So you'll take me there too? I want to go to Kurukshetra. Thank you. You're very merciful. Thank you. Now I'm just teasing you. Just bring me to Gujarat, I'll be happy. After traversing a very long distance, the brothers pretended to become tired. To mitigate their weariness, they climbed up a mountain many miles above sea level. This mountain was called Pravarsham due to constant rain, for the peak was always covered with rains sent by who? Who sends rain? Yes, because next month we're going to hear what Leela? Govardhan Leela. Who's a major player in that Leela? Indra, yes. He's a major player. Jarasandha took it for granted that the two brothers were afraid of his military power and had hidden themselves at the top of the mountain. First, he tried to find them, searching for a long time. But when he failed, he decided to trap and kill them by setting fires around the peak. He therefore surrounded the peak with firewood and set it ablaze. As the fire spread more and more, Krishna and Balaram jumped from the top of the mountain down to the ground, a distance of 88 miles. Can any one of you do that? That's why Krishna is God. He can jump 88 miles, and it's not that, like you see people that do that bungee jumping, or they do the skydiving, or they jump and then, not Krishna and Balaram. Thus, while the peak was burning, Krishna and Balaram escaped unseen by Jarasandha or his men. Jarasandha concluded that the two brothers had burned to ashes and that there was no need of further fighting. Thinking himself successful in his efforts, he left the city of Mathura and returned to his home in the city of Magadha. Gradually, Krishna and Balaram reached the city of Dwaraka, which was surrounded by the ocean or the sea, yes, because it's a city within the water. All right, so now you know about Ranchor. So let's see who was paying attention. What was the primary reason why Krishna left the battlefield? Who paid attention besides Yashomati? What was the main reason why Krishna left the battlefield? Anyone pay attention? Yes, back there? Very good. He had better things to do, namely answer the call of Rukmini. Very good. Thank you. Shall we continue or not? All right. Just making sure. Jai Shri Krishna. Now let's go and hear about Rukmini. Prabhupada says, the story of Krishna's marriage with Rukmini is as follows. The king of Vidarbha, Maharaj Bhishmaka, was a very qualified and devoted prince. He had 5 sons and only 1 daughter. The first son was known as Rukmi, the second Rukmarut, the third Rukmabahu, the fourth Rukmakesh, and the fifth Rukmamali. He really liked that Rook name, huh? Rook, Rook. The brothers had 1 young sister named. She was beautiful and chaste and was meant to be married to Lord Krishna. Many saintly persons and sages, like Narada Muni, used to visit the palace of King Bhishmak. Naturally, Rukmini had a chance to talk with them. And in this way, she obtained information about Krishna. She was informed about the 6 opulences of Krishna. So what are they? Renunciation, power or strength, wisdom, knowledge, you said, beauty. We're missing one. We did that. Fame. Those are the 6. Aishvarasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasa, Sriya, Jnana, Vairagyos Chaiva, Shanam, Bhaga, Ijingana. Now I will give 10 points for whoever can tell me who composed that verse. I will give you a hint. It is not Vyasadeva. What is... say it. What is the relationship between Parashara and Vyasadeva? Father and son. Very good. And simply about hearing about Krishna, Rukmini desired to surrender herself to his lotus feet and become his wife. Just by what? Hearing. This is why Lord Chaitanya stresses hearing is the first step in spiritual life. But what should you hear? Rush Limbaugh? What should you hear? You should be hearing from who? Such as? Ha! Very good. You should be hearing Krishna Katha from pure devotees. Very good. Simply by hearing about him, she desired to surrender herself to his lotus feet and become his wife. Krishna had heard also of Rukmini. She was the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, intelligence, auspicious physical features, liberal-mindedness, exquisite beauty, and righteous behavior. Krishna therefore decided that she was fit to be his wife. All of the relatives of King Bhishmaka decided that Rukmini should be given in marriage to Krishna. But her elder brother, who's his name? Rukmi, despite the desires of the others, arranged for her marriage with Shishupal, a determined enemy of Krishna. Who was Shishupal in his previous life? No. There you go. He was Ravan. And before that, Hiranyakashipu. So do you think now as Shishupal he's any better? No. He's the same rascal. Third time now he has come as rascal. Demon. Dantavakra was his brother. Shishupal and Dantavakra. When the black-eyed, beautiful Rukmini heard of the settlement, she immediately became very morose. However, being a king's daughter, she understood political diplomacy and decided that there was no use in simply being morose. This is very instructive for all of us, men and women. In this material world, many times, if not most times, your plans are going to be upset. Don't be morose. Use your intelligence. When things don't go right, use your intelligence and find a solution. Don't just lament. What class is famous for lamenting? Brahmins, Kshatriya, Vaisyas, or Shudras? Shudras, right? Krishna chastised Arjuna because in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, what was Arjuna doing? Lamenting, right? And so many times in chapter 2, what does Krishna say? Na tvam sochitam. You do not deserve to lament. Lamentation is a sign of ignorance. There's nothing to lament about. Your eternal spirit soul. You're not the controller. You're not the enjoyer. Use your intelligence, as we see Rukmini. You can imagine. She wants to marry Krishna, and her brother has arranged that she marry this demon, Shishupal. So she's going to use her intelligence. By the way, what are the two sources where we get intelligence? There are two ways we get intelligence. Actually, three ways. Who can tell me the three ways you get intelligence? From the television? Yeah, that's all the same one. That means Shastra. Guru. And? Guru, Sadhu, same thing. You're missing the big one. Savasya Chaham, Ridisani Vishta. Yes, Super Soul. Yes. These are the three ways. Krishna in your heart will give you intelligence. Dadami, Krishna says, I give intelligence. So you cannot argue with me. Krishna says, I give intelligence. Okay. So now, then, Shastra. That's very important. That's why I'm hammering. Read Bhagavad Gita every day so you get a brain. If you watch television, you're not going to get a brain. You're going to become, they even say it, boob tube. You become dull. Yes. Intelligence comes from reading Bhagavad Gita. And then, guru or sadhu. Right. All right. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Some steps should be taken immediately. After some deliberation, she decided to send a message to Krishna. And so that she might not be deceived, she selected a qualified brahmana as her messenger. Such a qualified brahmana is always truthful and is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Without delay, she sent the brahmin to Dwaraka. Reaching the gate of Dwaraka, the brahmin informed the doorkeeper of his arrival, and the doorkeeper led him to the place where Krishna was sitting on a golden throne. Since the brahmin had the opportunity to be Rukmini's messenger, he was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the original cause of all causes. A Brahman is the spiritual teacher of all social divisions. Lord Sri Krishna in order to teach everyone the Vedic etiquette of how to respect a Brahmin, immediately got up and offered him his throne. Is another renunciation. Krishna did this also when somebody else visited him in Dwarka. Sudama. Krishna gave him what? His throne? No, he gave him his bed. Because at that time, Krishna was sitting on the bed. When the Brahmana was seated on the golden throne, Lord Sri Krishna began to worship him exactly as the demigods worship Krishna. In this way, he taught everyone that worshiping his devotee is more valuable than worshiping him. In due time, the Brahmin took his bath, accepted his meals, and laid down to rest on a bedstead completely bedecked with soft silk. And as he was resting, Lord Sri Krishna silently approached and with great respect put the Brahmin's legs on his lap and began to massage them. Wow. So nice, huh? Can you picture that? Resting and Krishna's, wow, that's a massage. That would be the best massage. Yes. In this way, Krishna appeared before the Brahmin and said, "My dear Brahmin, I hope that you are executing religious principles without difficulty and that your mind is always peaceful." Now, Prabhupada has a comment. Different classes of people in the social system are engaged in various professions. And when one inquires as to the well-being of a particular person, one should do so on the basis of that person's occupation. Therefore, when one inquires as to the welfare of a Brahmin, the question should be worded according to his conditions so that not to disturb him. Right. You're not going to go to a doctor and say, "Gee, doc, you know, how's your RTs doing and how's your reading of Bhagavad Gita and how's your sadhana?" Or you're not going to go to a businessman. "How's your japa doing these days?" No, you deal with people appropriately. Even Prabhupada would sometimes say on a morning walk, "Good morning." Right? Prabhupada was very expert in that way, dealing with people on their level. Now, when you meet devotees, now your questions can be, "How's your preaching? How's your sadhana?" Like that. A peaceful mind is the basis for becoming truthful, clean, equipoised, self-control, and tolerant. Thus, by attaining knowledge and knowing its practical application in life, one becomes convinced about the absolute truth. The Brahmin knew Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and still he accepted the respectful service of the Lord on the grounds of Vedic social convention. Lord Krishna was playing just like a human being. So that word "playing" is very important. Krishna was playing. That's the whole idea of Leela. He's playing. Because he belonged to the Kshatriya division of the social system and was a young boy, it was his duty to show respect to such a Brahmin. Lord Krishna continued, "O best of all the Brahmins, you should always remain satisfied. For if a Brahmin is always satisfied, he will not deviate from his prescribed duties. And simply by sticking to one's prescribed duties, everyone, especially a Brahmana, can attain the highest perfection of all desires." Same thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, again in chapter 18. He says that whether you're a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, you can achieve perfection. So what does Krishna say in chapter 18? Is the way a Brahmin, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, and Sudra can attain perfection. Who knows 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? What is the way? Specifically, yes, that's true. I'll give you... Krishna says specifically, by worship of the Supreme Lord. By worship of the Supreme Lord, a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra can achieve perfection. How do we worship the Lord chiefly in Kali Yuga, Sri Devi? By chanting the holy name. Everybody chant. Even if a person is as opulent as the king of heaven, Indra, if one is not satisfied, he or she inevitably has to transmigrate from one planet to another. Such a person can never be happy under any circumstances. But if one's mind is satisfied, even if one is bereft of all possessions, he or she can be happy living anywhere. Prabhupada showed this. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, was he happy? Yes. When Prabhupada came on the Jaladuta, was he happy? Even though he had how many heart attacks? When Prabhupada came to New York, and although it took him 1 year to start his temple, was he morose? Did he quit? He was satisfied. That was what Prabhupada taught us. Prabhupada could be in an opulent temple or in New Vrindavan. He had that little hut, right? Prabhupada was happy either way. And Prabhupada, no matter where he was, he would always do his chanting. And no matter where he was translating the books. Whether he was Los Angeles, Hawaii, wherever he went, he always maintained his same program. And every day he got his dal, rice, and chapatis. But that's something Prabhupada taught by his example. In any situation, you be satisfied. Prabhupada comments, this instruction by Krishna to the Brahmin is very significant. The purport is that a true Brahmin should not be disturbed in any situation. In this modern age, Kali Yuga, the so-called Brahmins have accepted the abominable position of Sudras or less and still want to pass as qualified Brahmins. Actually, a qualified Brahmin always sticks to his own duties and never accepts those of a Sudra or of one less than a Sudra. It is advised in the authorized scripture that a Brahmin may, under awkward circumstances, accept the profession of a Kshatriya or even a Vaishya, but never is he to accept the profession of a Shudra. Lord Krishna declared that a Brahmin will never be disturbed by any adverse conditions if he scrupulously sticks to his religious principles. And Kamlesh, what is the ultimate religious principle in the Bhagavad Gita? Surrender to Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya says, Sri Devi, how do we surrender to Krishna easily? Lord Chaitanya? What would Lord Chaitanya say in general? Oh, really? Harinama Eva Kevalam? Isn't that his slogan? Yeah, there are many things, but it's all centered around chanting Hare Krishna. Correct? Yes or no? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Lord Sri Krishna then said, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, for the Brahmins are always self-satisfied, and the Vaishnavas are always engaged in actual welfare activities for human society. They are the best friends of the people in general. They are free from false egoism and are always in a peaceful condition of mind. What is that prayer? Banchakalpa, Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha, Patitanang, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Nama. Because in that prayer, the Vaishnavas are the well-wishers of everyone. And what do the Vaishnavas specifically want to give to the people in general? What do Vaishnavas want to give to everyone? Harinam, good. I like that. Krishna. They want to give Krishna. They want to give Krishna consciousness. Because they know by giving Krishna consciousness, then people will be happy. If we just feed the poor, they're not going to be happy because they're going to take birth again and again be poor. If we only concern ourselves with feeding the starving people, oh, that's good. But after you feed them, don't worry. They're going to take birth again and most likely be starving again. So the best thing you can do for anyone is to liberate them from the cycle of repeated birth and death. So if you want to give food, what should you give? Prasad. Yes. That's the best charity. To give prasad or give them Bhagavad Gita, give them Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna then desired to know about the Kshatriyas in the Brahmin's kingdom. So he inquired whether the citizens of the kingdom were happy. A king's qualification is judged by the temperament of the people in the kingdom. If they are happy in all respects, it is to be understood that the king is honest and is executing his duties rightly. Krishna said that the king in whose kingdom the citizens are happy is very dear to him. Of course, Krishna could understand that the Brahmin had come with a confidential message. Therefore, he said, "If you have no objection, I give you liberty to speak about your mission." So, I've gone over time. So let me just wrap up now the rest of the Rukmini marriage, so we not too overtime. So the Brahmin read the message that Rukmini had written. And that message was, "Krishna, in just a day or two, I'm going to be married to Shishupal. So if you're going to marry me, you have to come now." And Rukmini in her letter also completely surrendered herself to Krishna. She explained how just by hearing about him, she decided only he could be her husband, nobody else. And in her letter she said, "And if I can't have you in this lifetime, then I'm prepared to do austerities and penances for hundreds of births, so that one day I will be your wife." That's called unconditional surrender. She didn't care what it was going to take, but she would only accept Krishna. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Mam ekam." Mam ekam, exclusive. Rukmini then, because she's the king's daughter, she's smart. So she explained to Krishna, "If you're going to come and rescue me, you have to come at the time when I am going to go to the Durga temple. Then you can come and get me." So Krishna then accepted the letter of Rukmini, and the Brahmin returned to Rukmini. Then came wedding day. And on wedding day, Rukmini still hadn't seen the Brahmin, but all of a sudden, she saw the Brahmin. And it was understood everything was going to be okay. So, as was the custom, the bride's party. They go to the temple of Durga. There is rituals there, ceremonies. And when she came out and she made a prayer. She offered a prayer. She offered a prayer to Durga and Shiva, saying, please arrange my marriage to Krishna. So here is where demigod worship is approved. If you worship demigods to get Krishna, very good. But if you're worshiping demigods for material things, not good. Why? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, your results are limited and temporary. Your heart has been stolen by illusion. So Krishna condemns such demigod, material, business transactions. But if you worship a demigod to get Krishna, that is okay. Like one time, somebody asked me, Prabhuji, I very much like worshiping Lord Shiva. Is there anything wrong? I said, no. Worship Lord Shiva so that you become good Krishna Bhakta. Like that. And there is another instance where a devotee worships a demigod in order to get Krishna. So, when she was coming out, Rukmini felt a trembling in her left side of her body, which is an auspicious sign. And just as she was coming out, she saw Krishna. Now, meanwhile, you got to understand that when she came out of the Durga temple, all these princes and kings had come, besides Shishupal. And then many of them were sitting on horses. When Rukmini came out of the temple, she was so beautiful, they fell off their horses. That's beauty. That's how beautiful she was. Krishna then came with his chariot, took Rukmini by the hand, put her on his chariot, and started to leave. And everyone was like, They were completely what was Shishupal? Shishupal supposed to marry her, right? What's he doing? He's not doing anything. He's not worthy to have if he was really meant to have Rukmini, he would have stopped Krishna right there. But he's a coward, eunuch, useless. Nobody did anything. Krishna left. There was no fight. Jarasandha. Now, interesting, right? Jarasandha was there. I wonder what he thought, because he thought he killed, right? We read, right? He thought he killed Krishna, right? He put the mountain on fire, and he concluded, I've done it. So, it must have been a real shock for him. What? I can't kill this guy no matter what I do. So, nobody stopped Krishna, and Krishna was leaving with Rukmini on his chariot. So Rukmi, he chastised everybody. Ha! You guys can't do anything? I'll take care of this. So, Rukmi went after Krishna. So Krishna, with his expert arrows, and I think also Balaram helped, defeated Rukmi's army. But Rukmi was still chasing. And Krishna used one arrow to kill the horses. He used one arrow to take care of all the different things. Completely disarmed Rukmi. Then Krishna grabbed Rukmi, was about to kill him. But Rukmini fell at Krishna's feet and said, no, no, no. Don't kill my brother. Just see soft-hearted nature of a good woman. Just like Draupadi, when she saw Ashwatthama, some wanted to kill Ashwatthama because Ashwatthama had killed Draupadi's 5 sons. And Arjuna vowed, I will get that rascal, and he said to Draupadi, you will take your bath on his skull after I kill him. But when Draupadi saw Dronacharya, Brahmin's son, when she saw, she didn't like that he was tied up. So she was ready to forgive him, even though he killed her 5 sleeping sons. So these are examples of how soft-hearted by nature women are. Very soft-hearted. Very good. What, you want a hard? No. No, you don't want that. Especially if you're married to one. Ugh. No, you want soft-hearted. Yes. Men, they can be hard. That's their nature. Especially when they get old. They become very cranky. Women should remain soft-hearted. Otherwise, it's hell. Yes. So, Rukmini pleaded to spare her brother's life. So, Krishna, what did he do? He took his sword and he snipped at his mustache, snipped at his hair, cut his clothes, made him look very, very odd-looking. Meanwhile, Balaram had just taken care of all the armies. He arrived on the spot. And Balaram, he is Adi Guru. Balaram is, what is the relationship Balaram and Krishna? What? What kind of brother? Older brother. Balaram is first expansion, but older brother. Go figure that one. He's older brother, so he has the right to chastise Krishna. So, being Adi Guru, Balaram spoke in such a way, he chastised, hey, Krishna, whatever Rukmi may be, he's now our brother-in-law. You shouldn't have done like this. Then Balaram spoke to Rukmini. Rukmini, why are you lamenting? Rukmi is just getting the results of his karma. Then Balaram went back to Krishna, chastised him. Then went back to Rukmini. Rukmini, you should see things philosophically. This is what a guru does. Guru keeps everybody happy by speaking Vedic knowledge. I'm sure you have seen, because he has had lots of association with Prabhupada. You have seen how Prabhupada deals with complicated situations. Take care of this guy, but don't blow this guy. Take care of him. Keep everybody happy. I'm sure you have seen it. There are many, many instances of how Prabhupada dealt in certain situations. Very, very expert. So after Balaram appeased the situation, then Krishna, Balaram, Rukmini entered what city? Dwaraka. And there was a big, big wedding. Krishna's first wife, and everybody in Dwaraka was happy that Krishna married the supreme goddess of fortune, Mahalakshmi, known as Rukmini. And they lived happily ever after. Krishna Rukmini Ki.
Jai.
Everyone chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Okay, so according to the schedule, we are to have a bhajan. Manish, who do you want to sing? She is doing the offering. She cannot expand herself and do 2 things at the same time. Please do that.